Well, hello there. I'm Lance, and welcome to Dozing Off. Dozing Off is a podcast where I'll read you to sleep. I narrate short stories and classic literature in this deep and relaxing tone to allow you to put your overactive mind at ease and doze off. I hear a lot of you really enjoyed the Midnight Train Through Europe episode. So tonight we're going to do something similar, but instead, the Midnight Train Through Africa. If you do enjoy these sleep stories, I'm excited to announce that by the time this episode is live, I also have launched a Dozing Off Patreon, an opportunity for me to get more connected with you, as well as to provide you with an additional sleep story each week, as well as positive affirmations and guided meditations. I'll have more information about that in the episode's notes. Without further ado, here we go with the Midnight Train Through Africa. It was long after sunset when the traveler arrived at the station. A quiet platform in Tangier, Morocco, kissed by the lingering perfume of the sea. The midnight train stood waiting, its windows glowing like golden lanterns in the dark, its engine humming low, like it was too half asleep and dreaming. A gentle wind rustled the traveler's coat as they stepped aboard. The conductor, a tall man with silver hair tucked beneath a dark blue cap, nodded with a warm smile. "Welcome," he said, a voice like velvet. "The journey begins." The traveler found their cabin, a small wood-paneled room with a window that framed the night. The sheets were linen. The lamp was dim. And as the train began to move, the world outside slipped by like a slow river of shadow and starlight. Northern Africa, mountains and memory. Before crossing the Sahara, the train wound through the silent ridges of the Atlas Mountains. Fog clung to the cliffs. In the pale moonlight, small stone homes clung to the slopes like sleeping birds. The train paused briefly at a village stop where Berber women wore woven cloaks and carried baskets of bread wrapped in scarves. One woman stepped aboard with a pot of mint tea wrapped in wool. She poured it carefully, the steam curling in the air like incense. "My grandmother used to say," she whispered, "that the mountains hum at night. If you're quiet enough, you'll hear their songs in your dreams." She disembarked before the sun rose, fading into the mist as if she'd never been there at all. Later that evening, the train passed through Algeria, where orange lanterns lit a village square, and people strolled beneath flowering trees. At the edge of the market, A young girl sang softly in Arabic, her voice delicate as wind chimes. The traveler listened through the open window, watching as people gathered, clapped, and swayed. No one was in a hurry. The moment stretched, golden and full. Saharan Crossing, the Whispering Desert. The first leg of the southern journey passed through Fez and Marrakesh, then curved gently toward the Sahara. The wind grew warmer. The air tasted of dust and cinnamon. Outside the window, vast dunes stretched like ocean waves, silver under the moon. At a small desert outpost, a woman boarded with bundles wrapped in deep red cloth. She wore layers of flowing fabric and carried a basket of dates and almonds. She smiled, sat near the traveler, and offered a small handful. "I ride only until Tamin Rasset," she said softly. "Then I walk." She told stories of desert foxes, of cities carved into stone, and of star maps passed down from grandmothers. Her voice was slow and sweet, the kind of voice that made eyes grow heavy and the heart grow still. When she departed hours later, the traveler watched her walk into the golden sand, wrapped in silence and legend. West Africa, music and celebration. The train curved into the western coast, passing rivers and fields brushed by wind. It arrived in Dakar, Senegal at dawn, where a festival had taken over the station square. Lanterns swayed above colorful stalls, and drummers pounded steady rhythms that seemed to match the heartbeat of the train. A tall man wearing a white caftan and golden sandals climbed aboard. He introduced himself as Mamadou, a traveling poet. "I collect verses from every place I go," he said, unrolling a scroll of sun-faded paper. "Words that sleep on the wind." He sat beside the traveler and recited lines from his journey. His words sounded like the sea, flowing, deep, and timeless. When he departed in Bissau, he handed the traveler a folded page. It read simply, "May your dreams follow the tracks to wherever your soul needs rest." Later, the train stopped briefly along the coast of Sierra Leone, where the air smelled of salt and charcoal. A boy carried a small wooden boat carved by his grandfather. He smiled shyly and said, "We fish by moonlight when the sea is calm." He pressed the boat into the traveler's hands and whispered, "So you don't forget the ocean." Central Africa, river spirits in rain. The train moved inland again, through the green hearts of the continent. Rain tapped the windows gently, a soft and endless lullaby. It rolled alongside the wide Congo River, whose waters reflected the moon like a polished mirror. At a small port town, a fisherman boarded with weathered hands and a necklace of carved river stones. He sat across from the traveler, holding a wooden flute he had made for himself. When he played, the song was low and winding, a song that made the trees sway and the frogs stop to listen. "There's a spirit in the river," he said after a while. "It guards those who move slowly." He stepped off the train a few stops later, vanishing behind sheets of rain, his flute song still echoing in the night. Deeper in the forest, the train stopped in Gabon, just long enough for the scent of ylang ylang to drift inside. A woman with long braids sold dream pillows, small cloth pouches filled with lavender, river herbs, and ash bark. She whispered, "Put it beneath your head. The forest will keep your dream safe tonight." East Africa. Coffee, clouds, and rift valleys. The train curled eastward into Uganda, where the highlands rose like soft waves against the horizon. At a quiet stop near Mbale, an old woman boarded with a wooden tray of coffee beans and clay cups. She ordered a coffee ceremony. "To stay awake," she smiled, "it is to honor the moment before the dream." She roasted beans beside the open window, letting the smoke curl up and blend into the morning mist. The smell was warm and grounding, like earth after rain. She poured three cups, one for memory, one for hope, and one for peace. The traveler drank slowly. Outside, banana trees swayed, and birds dipped across the fields like falling stars. Later, the train moved toward the Great Rift Valley. From the window, the traveler saw ridges falling away into endless space, where flamingos stirred in shallow lakes and mist rolled like breath. A geologist on board pointed to distant peaks and said, "This land is where the world began, where it split open gently to let the sky in." In Kenya and Tanzania, giraffes walked slowly along the horizon, and zebras blinked in the dusk light. In the distance, Kilimanjaro watched quietly over the world like an elder with kind eyes. Southern Africa, firelight and farewell. The train moved south through Zambia and Zimbabwe, where waterfalls whispered in the distance and mist clung to the leaves. Mozambique, the train paused in a quiet coastal town. A boy boarded with a basket of seashells and stories. He sat on the floor and looked out the window with wide eyes and said, "At night, the ocean sings lullabies to the stars." That evening, the traveler joined a gathering around a fire near Botswana. A storyteller shared tales passed down by moonlight about lions that whispered dreams and stars that followed travelers home. The flames danced. Sparks floated up like tiny lanterns. And for a long time, no one spoke. The fire did all the talking. Later that night, the train climbed toward the Drakensberg Mountains, where an older couple boarded, arm in arm, wrapped in wool shawls. They had lived many lives. Teachers, then musicians, then orchard keepers. They carried a basket of oranges, which they peeled slowly and shared. They spoke in soft turns, of fire dances in the mountains, of whale songs along the Cape, of watching the stars turn like clocks in the Kalahari sky. "When you travel far enough," the man said, "you stop needing to arrive. You begin to love the moving." Cape Town, the end of the line. The train arrived at its final stop just as the sun rose over Cape Town. The sky blushed. The city stretched. The ocean yawned open. The traveler stepped off the train, feet soft on the platform, and looked out at Table Mountain still tucked in the morning mist. People bustled nearby, greeting each other in Xhosa, English, Afrikaans, Zulu. A symphony of welcome. But the traveler did not speak. They simply breathed. They thought of the woman in the desert, the girl who danced in Ghana, the singing trees of the Congo, the elephants of the plains, the child who carved the bow, and the oranges peeled with love. The journey had not been about getting here. It had been about being everywhere. And so, they walked slowly toward the rising light. The soft whistle of the train behind them, already preparing for its next midnight run through the dreaming lands of Africa.